Because everybody said, now is the moment we've all been waiting for. We're about to begin the sugyas of Bab Machtaris. Mamash, this is it. This is where in the yeshivas, those yeshivas that learn these sugyas, anyone who learns these sugyas usually begins with the Perek Ben Zomar at this point. We're about to open up the sugya of Bab Machtaris. So comes the Mishnah, and commenting on the psukim in Parshas Mishpatim, makes the observation that there's a parasha of Bab Machtaris, actually two different kinds of Bab Machtaris. The guy is breaking into somebody's house. Sometimes the halacha says that you're allowed to kill him, and sometimes the halacha says you're not allowed to kill him. And the answer is very simple. If he's bald, iskei nefashos. If you're assuming that the person is out to kill you, why is he out to kill you? He just wants to take your money. That's what the Gemara fills in the details afterwards. That not so simple, because if he's already such a mechutzah to break into your house in the middle of the night, so he realizes that you may put up a fight, and he's here to kill you, possibly to get the money. So every bav machteres is in effect dino kirei deif. And as a roidev, he's nitan latzil benavshay, habo hagachach tashkev lahargoy, you're allowed to kill him, you're allowed to protect yourself, you can't assume that he's probably out to take your life. Unless you know for a fact that that's not the case. How would you know for a fact that's not the case? So one good way of knowing is if it's avalabein, if it's the father who's breaking into his son's house, so then the father may want to steal his money, but he's not going to kill his son. So therefore you have to assume that he's not bal iskei nefashos. But short of that, you have to assume that every bal machteres is potentially a bal iskei nefashos, and therefore he has the din of a roidev. And as a roidev, the following halacha kicks in, that if in the process of his being Bob Machteres, he breaks some of Yekalim, he's not going to be held responsible for that. Why is that? So this is also a throwback to other psukim in Parshas Mishpatim. This is an application, a very strange application of the principle of Kamli B'Dramine. So this is the first time we're going to talk about Kamli B'Dramine, not the last time, first of hopefully hundreds and thousands of times over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about the principle of Kamli B'Dramine. Kamli B'Dramine appears in Parshas Mishpatim in the context of two people who are fighting, and someone gets hurt in the middle. So it's not even 100% clear who's getting hurt. Is the other person getting hurt? Is the woman who gets attacked on the side? And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the story, so a pregnant woman gets hit, and she experiences a miscarriage. So that raises the question of paying dmei vlados. If a person causes a woman to miscarry, so there's a chiv of dinim hominis to pay, he has to pay the dmei vlados, the value of the vlados, that goes to the husband. So that's a parashin chumash. Comes the Torah and says, puts the brakes on that parashah and says, that the chiv that may vlodos doesn't apply im asoni yeh. If somebody actually died, and there was mamash a chiv din in nefashos, so the person who's chayav misas beis din will not be held responsible to pay the may vlodos. So the Gemara says, from here we derive a din in kol terah kula, that anytime you have a double chiv, anytime you have a chiv to pay mammon and a chiv to pay to have misa, so you're chayav misas beis din and you get off, you don't have to pay the mammon. That's the parashah of Kamli B'Dramine. Then the Gemara has an extension of this passion of Kamli B'Dramine, that even if you didn't actually chayim misas beis din, why weren't you chayim misas beis din? There was no hasra, maybe there were no edim, there was a shaykh, whatever the reason is, even if tachlis you weren't really chayim misas beis din, you're still potter from paying the mamonis. That's a subcategory of Kamli B'Dramine. That subcategory is called Tana Devechizki. Chizki was the Tana who showed you the rayas from the psukim to that effect, and that's the din. So again, there's the basic din of Kamli B'Dramine, and then there's the secondary din of Kamli B'Dramine, the karel of Kamli B'Dramine, called Tana Devechizki. So now comes the Mishnah in Sanhedrin with a Yichidish Agabi Chidish Agabi Chidish and tells us that not only is there a din of Kamli B'Dramine for someone who's Chayav Misas Beis Din, but there's a din of Kamli B'Dramine for anybody who is Nita Latzila B'Nafshay. Anybody who theoretically could have been killed by everybody because he was a Roidev, or he was above Machteres, which is Dino Keroidev. That's the parasha of Ein Lo Dobim. That's the Chiddush of Parshas Mishpatim, that above Machteres is like a Roidev. So just as, let's say, if a person kills somebody who's Mamish Chai Mises Beis Din, so then they're potter from any moment that they incurred at the time, so too if a person is Chayav, I can't even say the phrase Chai Mises Beis Din, he's Chayav Misa, quote-unquote, namely, he can be killed by anybody. The Torah gives the permission, or perhaps even the requirement, to kill him, to save the life of somebody else. That's also called the Chayav Misa, and that Chayav Misa also carries with it the parasha of Kamli B'Dramine. That's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. That's the starting point of the Mishnah. So we just put together a lot of things. We looked at a lot of Chumash Shabbat Mishpatim now. We had to first discuss Kamli B'Dramine. We had to discuss Tanna Devei Chizkiya. We had to discuss the Dinim above Machteres, and you connect all the dots, you come out that above Machteres, who's a Raidev, is Nita Latzila B'Nafsho, is Ein Legdom. He doesn't have to pay money as well. And that's what the Mishnah says. Above Machteres, V'Shiver Sakelim, so he's going to be Potter. So Ad Kan Devei Mishnah. So it's with that, in that Mishnah, that's given, that's accepted by everybody. It's with that background that the Gemara now begins to discuss a complicated scenario of a Bav Machteris. What's the deal in the following case? Reuven is Bav Machteris, so we slap him with the name of Chaim Mises Beis Din, and he walks out with a chavis, he walks out with a barrel, and then he gets caught an hour later. And the barrel's still here. The barrel's still intact. Does he have to return the barrel or not? So if it would have asked me, I would say, no, why do you have to return the barrel? Because wasn't the chiyuv to return the barrel, wasn't that incurred at the time when he was above machteres? So at the time that he was above machteres, we slapped him with the chiyuv misa, and we slapped him with the heshras akzela shagozol. Isn't the shas gzela the time that you have to be, you have to return? That's the mechayiv of returning the barrel. So since that shas chiyuv mamun was incurred at the same time, simultaneously with the shas misa, isn't that covered by bav machteres? Isn't that covered by kamud raminei? That's what I would have said. And that's what Rav seems to say also, at least one version of Rav. That's the din. That Bav Machteres, Sheshibur HaSachavis is Potter, Bav Machteres, even if he wasn't Meshover HaSachavis, even if the Chavis wasn't broken, even though the Chavis is still intact, there's no need to pay back, to reimburse any din of moments that were incurred, Bishas Chi of Misa, that's all subsumed under the category of Kamid Raminei. And the Gemara says we're not so sure that that's true. That one could be mechalik and say, "Bamed the bamamurim." There's a din of kamevid raminei. That's if the gazlon breaks the barrel. But if he didn't break the barrel, he was simply neitel as a chavis, and the chavis is still intact. It's still around. Maybe that's not covered by kamevid raminei. Why is that not covered by kamevid raminei? Because maybe you can argue kamevid raminei means that you don't have to be mishalim. All the din of tashlumin are put on hold. Returning a barrel that you stole, if the barrel is still intact, is that called tashlumin? So maybe one can argue that's not called tashlumin. That's called hashavas hagazela. I'm simply returning the object that belongs to the original owner. Tashlumin means that, let's say, I burned down your house, so I have a chi of tashlumin. So that's what the Mishnah says. If I burnt down your house on Shabbos, come with Ramani kicks in. Or let's say in the case of the Dvei Vladis, the original model of come with Ramani. I kill somebody, and in the process of killing somebody, I also end up causing a miscarriage. So that chiv tashlumin for the vlatos, I have to take $100 out of my pocket and pay the bala isha. That's a chiv tashlumin. So tashlumin is covered by kamav draminei. Or let's say the bab machteres. When I'm bab machteres with shivres achavis, if I break the barrel, so then I have to pay you $100 for the broken barrel. That's a chiv tashlumin. A chiv tashlumin is covered by kamav draminei. But if the barrel is still around, it's still intact, maybe apidin, that's not called tashlumin. Maybe that's simply just returning to the rightful owner what still belongs to him. So if I'm simply being meshiv the barrel, not being mishalim, it's a tashlumin pishvila barrel, maybe that's not called kamavid raminei. So that's the nekuda that the Gemara is aimed on. And that's what Rav is not sure about, and Rav is not sure about, the Gemara is not sure about. Is that true or not? What's the answer to that question? Is that true? Is kamavid raminei limited to tashlumin? Does it apply also to hashava? So the pashta dvarim is it's limited only to tashlumin. So why should anybody apply kamavid raminei if the barrel is still intact? So this is above a comma question. Namely, this is a lumdish shaila. When a gazlin gets caught and the gazela is still intact, the halach is clear, he has to return. Is that really returning the object to the owner, the object that still belongs to the owner? Is that really hashava, or is that also a shtikl tashlumin? Why should we argue that that's called a tashlumin? What makes hashava sagazela into a tashlumin? So one can argue the following razzle dazzle lomdus in terms of hilchas gazela. When I steal something from you, I become chayav legamre on that object. No matter what happens, I steal a barrel from you. Anything that happens to that barrel, I'm held responsible for. It doesn't matter whether the barrel subsequently gets lost. Doesn't matter whether the barrel gets attacked, gets hit by lightning. Doesn't matter whether the tsunami comes and takes out. Any inis gum, no matter what, I am chayef to pay you for that barrel. So what does that teach us? What kind of halacha does that, what is the essence of that halacha? What's the nature of that halacha that a gazan is chayef to pay for all losses to that barrel? So one could conclude from that halacha that when I steal something, I basically own the object that I steal. Why am I chayef for every possible ines? Because who has to suffer a loss of something? The bayal will suffer a loss of something. If I own something and an ines and a crazy thing happens, who ultimately has to bear the brunt of loss? Myself. So let's say to Marshall, I invested a lot of money. I take my money, I buy a lot of stuff, and then some crazy thing happens. So It's my loss. That's it. We're going to blame it on somebody else. It's my loss. It's my object. I take the loss. So from the fact that the halacha clearly holds the gazlan responsible for any and everything under the sun, maybe that indicates to us that the gazlan is fundamentally kind of the object. It's really fundamentally his object, and that's why he has to suffer the loss of all einsin. If that's the case, when the Torah says v'heishev es hagzela, what the Torah is basically saying to the gazlan is that you have to make a tashlumin back to the owner. You don't really have to do a hashava back to the owner. You have to do a tashlumin back to the owner. Now, it's a strange kind of a tashlumin because it cannot be done with cash. If the chafetz are still intact, it has to be done with the chafetz itself. The gazlan cannot say, it's my item, I get to keep it, I'm going to write you a check for $100. No. The tashlumin of gazela has to be done with the item itself that was stolen. But for Ikaron, in the world of lomdus, of a kamatik lomdus, it's a tashlumin tikkadin, it's not a hashava tikkadin. If that's the case, that it's a tashlumin tikkadin, not a hashava tikkadin, then it's subject to the parish of Kibbeh B'drabinei. So that's what the Gemara's mahasi said. That's what the Gemara's mistaffing about. That's what the Gemara's not sure about. How to understand the nature of this din of hashava sagazela is hashava sagazela fundamentally hashava sagazela, and therefore it wouldn't lend itself to Kibbeh B'drabinei? Or is hashava sagazela fundamentally tashlumin, and therefore it would lend itself to Kibbeh B'drabinei? Would that be related to Dover Agar? Which part would be related to Dover Agar in the moment? No, everyone agrees that the Torah says Veshur is Gzela. So nobody argues that you have to return the object. The question is whether that, the fact that the Torah holds me responsible for anything and everything under the sun, is that a Megala? Is that indicate something about the relationship that I have with that item? Dover Agar in the moment is a different part. Dover Agar in the moment means that I for sure don't own this object, but if this object gets lost, it's going to cost me something. Does that mean that I'm the owner of the object or not? It's not exactly the same. Here, we're using the fact that I'm chayif everything as an indication as to what my degree of bialis is on that object. Dover Agar in the moment means we know it's not my object. It's not a mishal, it's not my object. It's just I have a goyim. I'll say lemosh like the gemara in Pesach and Defei, where I'm watching something. I'm watching chametz for the goy on Pesach. We know it's not mine. We know it belongs to the mafkid. But I have an achrayus on that chametz. And that's called a davar goyim lemomim. Here we're davke using my achrayus to be megala that it's more than just achrayus. It's actually a real din imamunus. So why should one say one way, why should one say the other way? What should that take be? Again, this is above a kama. This is in 7th, 9th parak above a kama shayla. This is not a Sanhedrin shayla, but it's going to impact on Sanhedrin. Depending on what you think the lomdus of the Shavas HaGzela is, it's going to impact whether Kibbeh B'drabinei applies when the chafetz are still intact. So I understand why you should say that the obligation of Aynes indicates to me that this is a tashlum adikadin. Why should one say fakert? So l'chor, the svar fakert would be that the chiyav of einsim is not a proof positive of bialus. We have models in halacha where someone is chayav einsim without being a bialim. L'moshel, what's the model par excellence of being chayav einsim without being a bialim? A shoyel, midyavi a shoyel. If I borrow your car, so I'm held responsible for anything and everything. If I borrow your car and a tsunami takes the car away, so I'm still chayav to pay for that the car. The only thing that a shoyel is potter for is what? Only two cases a shoyel is potter. One is meisim achas malacha, and the other is Bailavimai, those are the two cases. If you don't know those two answers, you cannot get into MTA. Why not? Because those are the questions that were asked me when I went to 8th grade. I went for my interview for MTA, so I was asked those two questions. I happened to be learning, we were learning about Matzia that year, so the person who gave me the Bechin asked me, what are the two times that a shoyel is potter? So the two answers are, Eisvach Zlacha and Pshia. Fachshim, I got into MTA. The person who gave me the Bechin was none other than, what, do we know? Rabbi Yitzhak Cohen, right, Rabbi Yitzhak Cohen used to give the Bechin from MTA. Okay, so I was scared, but I got the answers right. Okay, back to our story. So comes the Gemara and is mistopping about this very nekuda. We're not sure. I guess somebody got so excited over the story they had to unmute themselves. Okay, we just mute you again. Okay, so we're not sure what the nature of the chiyav of a gazlan is. When a gazlan returns the object, do we call that a hashavas hagzela or do we call that tashlumi hagzela? So the svar to say it's tashlumin is because ultimately you're the bailim. Harayich ha'im einsin. Or do we take a step back and say, no, the chiv of einsin is not megal anything. Now, when you read this Gemara, so a lot of people get very, very confused. A lot of people think, oh, the Gemara is having a shayla. Is a gazlan coin of the object or not? So anyone who ever learned the 7th parak or the 9th parak of Bava Kama realizes that that's a much, much loaded, much more loaded question than just two lines of Masechta Sanhedrin. When I steal something, do I own it or not? What's the din? Does the Gazan have a kinyan gezeila or not? So it depends on what you mean with the term kinyan gezeila. Kinyan gezeila is a loaded term, and it means different things in different contexts. So if you think that a Gazan, when he steals something, owns the object vis-a-vis that he doesn't have to return this object, that all he has to do is pay cash, then you're absolutely wrong. That is belishum sofek. When I steal something, there's no way in the world that I own it vis-a-vis just paying off cash. Of course I have to return the object itself. The only thing that could happen that could enable the Gazlan to be kind of with a full-fledged kinyan, that he doesn't have to return the object and can simply pay the cash, kishasa gazela, something very radical has to happen. What radical kind of things could happen that could enable the Gazan to mamish be kainet l'chol davar, that he doesn't even have to return this object? So I don't know, Limpa Vakamish, should we be able to answer that quickly? What kind of things must happen? Shinoi could happen, or what else could possibly happen according to some? Maybe Yish according to some opinions, maybe Yish plus Shinoi Rishus could happen, maybe Shinoi Hashem could happen. A few things here and there, when you finish learning the 7th to 9th Pekka Bavakam, you realize a few possibilities could happen that could create a kinyan l'chol davar, l'chol dinei HaTorah, to say that this chayfetz now belongs to the Gazlan and all he has to do is pay back Yish. That's not our sugi b'chlal. No shili happened to the chavis, no yush happened to the chavis, nothing happened to the chavis. The chavis still has to be returned. There's no shaila that he has to return this item itself. On the other hand, if you ever learn Bava Kamma, you'll also realize that when a person steals something, he does get what's called a kinyan gezeila. Kinyan gezeila does not mean that it's his vis-a-vis not returning the object. A kinyan gezeila means that he has certain halachas that now are created between him and the object that he stole. One of those halachas happens to be the chiv of achrayus, the chiv of einsin. That emanates from a kinyan gezeila. It is a kinyan that takes place. When a person feels something, it's not just a maisa gezeila bi'alma, but there's a real transformation in dinim mamonis, proof positive. The Mishnah says in the end of the 7th Perek of Bava Kamma that if I steal something and I don't do a maisa kinyan on it, so then I'm not going to be chayv in achrayus. Let's say, for example, I go to your backyard and I drag your animal in your backyard, but I never take it out of your backyard. So then that's not called a kinyan mishicha. Mishicha b'shus ha-moicher is not chal. So mishicha b'shus ha-nigzol is not chal. It wasn't teufes. So even though I quote-unquote stole your animal, if I drag your animal and then it gets hit by lightning, I'm not chayy for that, the Mishnah says, because I never did a kinyan gezela. On the other hand, if I pick it up, so then hagbos kene b'chol makoyim, so then I did do a kinyan gezela. So the maisa gezela is not just a maisa gezela bi'alma. It has to meet the criteria of what's called the kinyanim, pashas kinyanim, because there is a kinyan that's taking place, and it's that kinyan that creates the responsibility of having to pay for all achrayas. So the answer to the question, whenever a person steals something, is there a kinyan taking place or not? The answer is it depends. What do you mean by that? If you mean a kinyan vis-a-vis to be potter from paying back that to returning that object, the answer is no. Kozman, that shina yirsh, etc. hasn't happened, so that's clearly not the case. Do you mean the word kinyan vis-a-vis being chayv in achrayas? So the answer is absolutely yes. But now the Gemara in Sanhedrin is talking about a third topic. Namely, everyone agrees that you have to return this object itself. No shina, no yish, nothing happens. So avad, you have to return this object. But now we're asking ourselves conceptually, the returning of the object, the mitzvah hashavas hagezela, is this b'teres hashavas hachefet shel habaylim? Because in our heart and soul, we really believe the baylim owns this object, l'chol davar. So all you're doing is simply returning it to him like a shmashu, like a show returns to a mashil. If that's the case, then there's no kimlin ramine. Or do we say no, that this is treated, elevated to tashlumen? Not like the tashlumen of the person who did a shinui. That's real tashlumen. Harayah via, you don't have to return the object. But here you do have to return the object. But the lomdus of returning the object is a lomdus of tashlumen. And therefore, it will be subject to kimlin ramine. So the answer to the question is a loaded one. When you read this Gemara and say, does the Gazan have a kinyan or not? It depends what you mean. The word kinyan means three different things in terms of the sugyas of gezeila. But anyway, getting back to our story. So what's the answer to this question? So is the hashavas hagezeila b'teres hashavah b'teres tashlumin? Is it subject to kimlin ramine or not? So it's a machlokes amaroyim. It's machlokes between Rav and Rava. Rav originally thought that Rav agreed to him, and then the Gemara backs out and says Rav really disagreed. And when all the dust settles, so Rav holds that the din of kimlin ramine may even apply even if the object is intact. But the Gemara wasn't sure about that, and Rav didn't really think in his heart and soul that was really true. He really thought that the emes of the Amito is that it's only true when you're shoivis a chavis, not if the chavis is intact. But Rav was the one who made that cryptic statement at the start of the sugya. Rav was the one who said that above Machteres, the Notlas Akelim, so is going to be covered by Kilim Ramin. So it could be that Rav only said a statement vis-a-vis Shiver, maybe yeah, maybe no. And it's at that the Tosfos gets the ball rolling. The Tosfos comes down with an attack, comes with a question. Tosfos says, wait a second. If Rav made this grandiose statement, Abob Machteres, Benot Lasachov is Potor, and that may have only meant Shiber, it's possible that's all that Rav meant, says Tosfos, so what do I need Rav for? The Mishnah says that already. The Mishnah already says, Abob Machteres, Shiber Sakelim, is Nidim Nafshas Potor. So what did Rav add? If Rav is adding on the Yapotah, even if it's not though, it's not Shibra, the item is still intact, that's a Gevaldik Chiddush. That doesn't say that in the Mishnah. But if Rav is just simply parroting what it says in the Mishnah, if the Mishnah already said Shibra Sechavis is Potter, what in the world would Rav be adding to Shibra Sechavis? We already know it's Potter. What's the Chiddush of Rav? So it's a very, very small Taisus that starts the entire ball rolling, got the whole world in an uproar. What does Taisus everybody say? Taisus, what's the Chiddush of Rav? Says the Chiddush of Rav is as follows. If you were just learning Mishnayos, let's say we didn't have a Gemara, we just had a Mishnayos Shia. So the Mishnah says, Bob Machteres, Shibas Achov is Potter. I would think that means Kol Zman in the Machteres. The guy's still in the process of breaking in. The guy's a total klutz, this Ganav. He comes in, he breaks the window in the process, then he smashes the TV, he crashes the guy. He's a total klutz. But all the breaking of the Kalim are taking place, Bishas Bob Machteres. So there is a Raydev. So he's a Raydev, Bishas Maisa Hashvira, Bishas Maisa Hezek, Tosis Kibliv Draminei. The grandiose Kiddush of Rav is that this klutz took the barrel and he took it home, and on his way home he tripped. He's already 20 feet away from the house. He's already back in his car, and he drops the barrel and he takes it out of the car. That's a Chiddush. It's a Gevaldik Chiddush. I wouldn't have known that from the Mishnah. So it could be that if the Kli is intact, Taka, there's no Dida coming from it. Maybe yeah, maybe no, depending on what you think about the sugya is about Sherlin Gazman. But if the Kli is not intact anymore, Das is Kimlev Dramine. And the razzle dazzle Chiddush of Rav is, even if the Etzem HaShvira took place after he's no longer above Machteres, that's the Chiddush of Rav. Kamash Blon, that's also covered by Kimlev Dramine. Not kind of your thesis.
Why is there Kimlin? Okay.
Thank you for
this, no more.
Oh, yeah, that's the point. That's the cash we have to be a bit on. So, Rabbi Sai, this thesis, L'chora, is searching for a Kimlin. They don't want to make Kimlay the simple case of the guy who's a klutz in the Machteres, because that we already know from the Mishnah. So, Tais is searching high and low for another example of Kimlin Ramine. But L'chayra, Tosha's example, is guilty of what criminal act and learning is that? What's the name? It's overkill. That's like the worst thing you can do in a sugya. You're trying so hard to give it teretz. Your teretz is so much that it accomplishes more than you tried, and now you get yourself into trouble. So let's turn the tables on Tosha's. Tosha's killing Dramine. Really? That's coming Dramine? I was chayav Misa. Not really Misa's baby, I was Chayav Misa B'Teres Bob Machteres 20 minutes ago, and now I break a barrel 20 minutes later. That's coming Dramine? Really? Is that true? That's what Tosfos just said. Tosfos said, not only in the case of the Mishnah where it's B'Vas Achas, but even when the Shvirus HaChovitz happens later, that's also called coming Dramine. So we have to stop Tosfos in the tracks. Say, wait a second, is that true or not? So everybody said, this opens up a world for us of coming Dramine. We have to now learn some of the intricacies, hopefully, of Kamli Dramine to understand what Taisus Teretz means or doesn't mean. So part of our discussion of this Taisus is going to begin with the sugya that appears a couple of lines later. Some of you may have seen it already. But I'll share with you, just in case you didn't see this part of the Gemara yet. The Gemara quotes the following scenario, Bryce, that discusses the intricacies of Kamli Dramine. Hagoynif kiss b'Shabbos. A fellow steals a kiss on Shabbos. He steals a wallet on Shabbos, and he steals from somebody's house, and he takes the kiss outside. So this fellow is potentially subject to two different chiyuvim. On the one hand, he's a gazlan, a ganav of a gazlan, for stealing the kiss. On the other hand, he is also a mechel Shabbos. Not because he moved muktzah, that's not what's going to make him chayim, he's based in, but he did an act of atzah. He took something from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim. So that's a melacha deraisa, carries with a chiyuv skila. So the Braisa wants to know, would we hold this person responsible for the tashlumen, for the wallet that he stole? Or do we have a right to say he's covered by Kama Bidramine? So we already know from Mishnayos in the third Berakha of Bava Kama, Hasurf is a Gadish B'Shabbos. If I burn down your house, I burn down your field on Shabbos, I'm going to be potter from Tashlumin because of Kama Bidramine. So Chilu Shabbos, the Issus, the Chi of Skil of Chilu Shabbos, is a, has the Koyach to be potter you out of Kama Bidramine. So the Braisa wants to fine tune the Shah and wants to know the Gain of Issus B'Shabbos, is that covered by Kama Bidramine or not? What's the din? So the Braisa draws the following distinction. It depends purely on timing. If you were Gneva Sakis first, if you did a Maisa Gneva first, a Maisa Gezela first, before you got the Chilul Shabbos, so then you are going to be chayef to pay for that kiss. How did you do a Maisa Gneva before you took it out of the person's Rishos? So remember we said, well, if you picked it up, if you did Hagbah on it, so the game's over. If you do a Kiddin Hagbah on something, you become a Gazlan right at that point. So you were nischayev b'gneiva, kerem shir nischayev b'shabbos. Shabbos you only become chayev when you actually take it outside, when you complete the aveir of Aitzah, you go mershus l'shus. But the gneiva was teifis first, the chayev gneiva was teifis first, so that's not called kama b'dramine. Kerem shir nischayev b'gneiva, kerem shir yavol day yisiskila. However, if the guy decided to steal this kiss in a very lumdish way, that he didn't quite pick it up yet, he was moving along, he was dragging it along, chayev magar v'yaitzeh, and now at the moment that he gets outside is the same moment that he's kind of the kiss together with Michal Shabbos. He timed it perfectly to be both in the simultaneously. And then and only then does Kibbutz Ramini kick in. So the Gemara says, Befeirish in his Braisa, and it says in Ksubas in the third prayer, in a few places, that the Fipech of Mesech is Gittin, Sugi Menasech, right? Remember that Sugi, right? The Gemara says, Befeirish, that any and every time when there's a Chi of Mammon that's Toifes before the Chi of Misa, that's Ois Kibbutz Ramini. That's not called Kibbutz Ramini. Kibbutz Ramini cannot apply if the Chi of Mammon preceded the Chi of Misa. That's the Befeirish of Gemara in at least three places in Shas. So everybody say, Yesh Lachor, Yesh Lodun, what's the nature of this din? This is a given, this is a Dava Pasha. That when the Chiyah Mammon precedes the Chiyah Misa, that's not subject to Kibbutz Ramini. What's the nature of that halacha? So one can understand that halacha in one of two ways. Either one can understand that this is a Tanai in Huchas Kibbutz Ramini. Kibbutz Ramini is a Chiddush HaTorah without the Parish of Mishpatah of Dvei Vlados in a billion years, I wouldn't have said Kibbutz Ramini. On my own, I never would have figured out Kibbutz Ramini. That's what the Orech Chaim HaKodesh in Chumash and Pashas Yishlach writes, that Kibbutz Ramini is such a gewaltig chiddush that only applies to Bnei Yisrael, doesn't apply to Bnei Noach. So the whole parsha of Kibbutz Ramini wouldn't apply to Bnei Noach. That's what the Orech Chaim explains. That's why Bnei Shechem and the whole Chevra from Shechem's town were all Chayav Mammon for the Boishas that they did to Dina. And in addition to the Chiyah Misa, that's why Ben Yaakov or the Pchua Dina Mominus were allowed to take what they took because they were Chayav Mominus as well as Chiyah Misa. So they were Chayav Mias, Ait Kimim Dramine. He says, no, Kimim Dramine was only Chadish by Israel, not by Bnei Noach. Another topic, another time, another stuff. So Kimim Dramine is a Gevaldik Chiddush. So one could argue, Ein Chabal Chiddushai. If the Torah depicts the scenario of Kimim Dramine, and the case that the Torah depicts is when the Misa and the Mammon are mamish simultaneous. That is the story in Parshas Mishpatim, that the fellow's killing at the same time he's destroying the Bnei Vlodis. So if it's Hainu Hach, that's called Vasachas. So in the Chabal Chedushai, that the parish of Kibbutz Ramini, the plight of Kibbutz Ramini was only said when the Chi of Mammon and the Chi of Misa are mamish simultaneous. If the Chi of Mammon precedes the Chi of Misa, this is Nishkan Kibbutz Ramini, and vice versa. What if the Chi of Misa preceded the Mammon? That's also not called Kibbutz Ramini. That ain't Chabal Chedusha. You can only have Kibbutz Ramini if they're both Amamish simultaneous. Either one precedes the other, the game's over. That's not subject to the Ptua Kibbutz Ramini. Is that the Pshat in our Gemara? Or maybe no, maybe that's not the Pshat. The Oilam, it could be that Kibbutz Ramini could apply even if the two are not necessarily simultaneous. The reason why if the Chi of Geneva is Chal first, why that's Ois Kibbutz Ramini, is because the guy's Chai of money already. So once the Chi of Mammon was Teifes on him, Kibbutz Ramini is not a pointer of a pre-existing Chi of. Kibbutz Ramini is a preventive of a Chi of. Kibbutz Ramini is not a medicine for something that already exists, it's preventative medicine. That means before the Chi of Mammon is Chal, comes Kibbutz Ramini as Meneya Chi of Mammon from being Chal. But Kibbutz Ramini can never remove a pre-existing Chi of. So if that's the case, that there is no halacha that kibbutz rabbinay has to be simultaneous. The din is that kibbutz rabbinay is a meneya sechiyuv, but it's not a paita, pre-existing chiyuv. So then I understand why kibbutz shechiyuv is chayiv b'gineiv, kibbutz shechiyuv is a skila. That if a guy is already chayiv in momenis, so what do you want kibbutz rabbinay to come 20 minutes later and to knock off a pre-existing chiyuv b'hecha teisim? But if the order was reversed and the chiyuv misa was chal first and the chiyuv mamon wants to kick in later, one could argue that's also called kibbutz rabbinay. As long as I have a chiyuv misa sitting on me, even though it's not b'shas maisa of the chiyuv mamon, a pre-existing chiyuv misa can prevent, because kibbutz rabbinay is a preventative, so it can prevent the chiyuv mamon from being chal. There is no requirement that the two have to be vaseh achas. So from the Gemara in Sanhedrin in our sugya 9 days. And the Gemara's in Git in the 5th parak, and the Gemara's in Ksubas in the 3rd parak, they're all speaking about Chiyuvei Mamon preceding Chiyuvei Misa not being subject to Kibbutz Rabbinay. That is not a dead giveaway that Kibbutz Rabbinay requires both Chiyuvim to be Chav B'Vas Achas. It's Nitan Le'Amer that they don't have to be B'Shas Achas as long as the Chiyuv Misa preceded the Chiyuv Mamon. If the Chiyuv Mamon precedes the Chiyuv Misa, that's a no-brainer. That's for sure not going to be subject to Kibbutz Rabbinay. So we're back to square one. We want to know, what is the din? A person does something, and two Chiyuvim kick in, albeit not simultaneously, but it happens to be that the Chiyuv Misa precedes the Chiyuv Mamon. Could that be included in the Pasha Kibbutz Rabbinay? Still unknown to us. So clearly, Tosis is addressing that issue. We have a lot of work cut out for us. Hopefully, Metzim tomorrow, we have to pick up from this Nakud and see what Taka is the din. When a Chiyuv Misa precedes a Chiyuv Mamon, is that subject to the Parsha of Kibbutz Rabbinay or not? So hopefully, Metzim tomorrow, we'll see. That's going to hinge upon how to read two Gemaras. The Gemara in the 2nd Parak of Bava Kamma and the Gemara in the 7th Parak of Bava Kamma. Machlekes Rishonim, how to read those two Gemaras. And if you figure out what in the world those two Gemaras are saying, then you'll be able to get a little bit of a sense as to how this is going to impact or not impact on that Tosis. Hopefully, Metzim tomorrow, we'll continue. Okay. Yeah.
Would it depend if the bug up there is that broken food that he stole in the house or a different food that he found outside after he left?
Well, again, it's if you want to know if it's not related at all to the Maisa HaGazel. Okay, so that's already another Nakuda. We're going to have to wait for the Shidduch Kibbutz tomorrow to see that. Okay? So that's going to be part of the story according to some. Okay? Very good. Talk about it tomorrow. Okay, good. Everyone have a great day. Okay? Take care, guys.